Hello, 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 and welcome to RuPaul's Drag Race Recap here on Reality TV Rehap Ups. I'm your host, Slayana Boris. That's right, it's official. I'm changing my name. And we are here to talk about the premiere of RuPaul's Drag Race Season 12. Now, first, let me bring in a man who I would vote for, Amon. How you doing?
Well, you're Slayana Boris. I guess I'll be Amonte Adwin.
Hey.
Oh, I'm good. This is premiere was a little unexpected how they handled it, but you know, still a really good show, and I'm excited to get into it with you guys.
And here we also have, of course, the man who, does he have a peg leg? I need to know right now. Brent, how are you?
Well, when I was a working boy, I was accused of having a third leg, not a peg leg. So, but I have to say, I loved this premiere. I don't know if you saw my comments on Facebook, but this is one of my favorite premieres ever. I loved that they didn't tell the queens that nobody was going home. I loved that we had stakes involved because of that. I loved that there was only seven queens, so we got to intimately know each of them. I actually watched this premiere three times. I just loved everything that I got from it, and it was really hard for me. Like, I want to enjoy these moments because I didn't dislike anybody on the stage.
It was so hard to think about having to send one of these queens home. I'm so happy that this was a non-elimination episode. And I agree with you. I really, really liked the format. I think that the way that they did it, similar to season six, where you break it up into two parts, you get to know all the queens, but this time we don't send anybody home. I mean, I actively was so excited to rewatch this episode. Amon, what did you think about the changes to the format that they made?
I echo both of you. I think it's nice that we are actually getting a chance to get to know the queens. The judges are getting a chance to know the queens. The producers are getting a chance to know the queens, which hopefully will mean that we're going to be getting a lot more storylines that can be crafted from more characters because you're given more time to really delve into who they are as people and as queens. And we get to see their story. So I'm hoping that will lead to less predictability when it comes to, you know, choosing who's the first boot or who's the final five and shit like that. Because, you know, as fun as Drag Race is, it is still a reality TV show and it does fall victim to a lot of the same familiar tropes that we get season in, season out. So I'm hoping with a little bit more time for production to, you know, craft and mold these queens into how they want to portray them, that's going to give us more of a, it's going to make it less predictable. So I'm here for it. It was a good choice, honey. Thank you.
All right, now let's not waste any time. I just want to get into all of this because I wasn't as excited maybe as Brent. I only watched it twice, but each time was such a fun ride. And starting with these introductions is, of course, you know, the way that you have to start things off, especially with Britta, our Polynesian princess, who I think really operated as a narrator throughout a lot of this, first episode. But Brent, were there any standouts from the introductions that you really liked?
From the introductions, I have to say that Crystal Method's entrance look was absolutely giving me life. I love the clown-esque, like Cirque du Soleil kind of thing. The only thing that bugged me a little bit about Crystal is that I felt like her makeup, I did agree with Michelle, her makeup seemed to not change a whole lot as we moved through the episode, but I love that particular entrance look with the, you know, even though it's green, I'm sure Michelle probably would have loved it. I feel like Gigi's was a little bit of a downer. Like, I know that she had that ahoy meaty kind of
what?
I didn't like
for me.
The entrance look I did not like from Gigi. I felt like it was a little boring, the little costume. I really wasn't here for it. Britta's was sort of nondescript as far as her entrance look goes, but her energy was absolutely amazing. And of course, I think you have to say between Nikki Doll and the Widow Von Du, they saved the best for last, in my opinion, because they were both giving me absolute life with their entrance looks. Nikki with her androgyny and Widow, just all of the stuff that she's serving. I mean, she is just filling out that bodysuit with sparkles and then some. And I was so here for it.
Amon, tell Brent why he's wrong about Gigi's outfit.
I mean, come on. Like, that was just, I mean, I'm a camp person, okay? I like shit that is campy. I like a theme. I like it when I like costumes. Now, that being said, there is a critique in that I'm interested to get to know just the percentage work-wise, how much of the work is Gigi's mom's and how much is the work of Gigi, because this is like the third, this is the first of three outfits that we get to see that Gigi's been like, oh yeah, my mom made it for me. Okay, so is this going to be like a commercial, a season-long commercial for your mother's like costuming business? That being said, his mom obviously, or her mom obviously knows what the hell she is doing. That pirate look is everything. I love the little spyglass that matched the fabric, the boots all the way up to her knees, the little, you know, I don't even know what you call those. Are they knee high? They're way past her knee, thigh highs. They're just, I don't know. I loved everything about it. The feather, everything. Yes, Pirates of the Caribbean was in town. I loved it. It was great.
Yeah, the fabric. I really like the fabric too. But I love this concept of Gigi's mom making all of her outfits, but giving her helmets at essentially every stage. Like, be safe, sweetie. Be sure to wear your helmet.
Make safe choices. Yeah.
Yeah. I Widow was the first person that really stood out to me from the introductions, because I wasn't super high on her. And I know that you guys were. And when she came in, I was immediately like, oh my God, I love you. She said, for those of you that do know me, you're fucking welcome. And I was like, yes, where do I put, like, I should put that on my gravestone. I don't know. That's just a quote that will live with me. It was so, so fun. I really loved her.
I mean, I have to say, of the seven people that we saw, I think that the Widow Von Du probably got the biggest bump in popularity from the premiere. I mean, we saw these queens beforehand. We saw the little videos they had. They were interesting. We've seen some of their performances on YouTube. And you're like, okay, they're fine. But you want to see, like, I mean, like, I just go back to last year and, oh God, who was the big girl who we all liked before the season? And then,
Silky.
Sorry. God, the names go right out of my head. I'm sorry. Yes. Silky. We loved her preseason. And then, you know, an episode goes by and we're like, okay, we're off the Silky train. But the Widow Von Du was just giving me life throughout this episode. And I feel like she got the biggest bump out of everybody in terms of what the premiere gave her, from her entrance looks to her runway to her performance in the challenge. And then the runway after that, everything was life. And then you go to the end with the lip sync and it's just like, I mean, come on, bitch. Come on. Like, you couldn't have given me more in an episode than Widow Von Du gave me here.
Heidi also gave us leprosy print, which was a new fabric. I don't know if y'all caught that. It was in her little confessional. Just talking about what print she brought.
Yeah, that's why it was really good. I particularly want her to bring episode to the coronavirus print. That would That would be what I would enjoy.
Get on with your disease self. Yes. Who else? Jackie, really. I actually really like Jackie throughout this whole episode, and we'll get to more of the performances later. But she was somebody who I don't know. From her video, I didn't get the sense that she was really funny. But then from this episode, I think she grew on me, and I really loved Jackie here. And I have to say, Crystal, the clown makeup. So I have a feeling like this is going to be something that goes on throughout this entire season of, okay, she's always doing the clown makeup. She's always doing the clown makeup. But yet you have other queens who are always doing sort of like their face and don't really change it up that much. So I'm trying to.
Yeah, but you got to know how the game is played on RuPaul's Drag Race. Like, Dusty Ray Bottoms had that thing with the dots, and it was definitely her thing. And it wasn't something that you even really noticed so much. But once it's pointed out to you, you can't unsee it. So I feel like that clown makeup is something that's very beyond what normal makeup it is, and so Michelle's going to clock you for it. Whereas people like Jackie and maybe Widow Von Du, who have more of a stated way that they paint their face, it's not going to invite that same criticism because it's more seen in the realm of what regular, you know, fish kind of painting is. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's very true. But I think that's where sort of challenging, I don't know, that's where I think sometimes the show fails, because it really embraces sort of one or two styles of drag. And then I definitely fall prey to this too. Like Sasha Velour, I think it took me a while to appreciate what she was doing, just because it wasn't like within that normal box. But I don't know. We'll see how that unfolds throughout the season.
Yeah, I have to say, Aman, I was really impressed by Jackie as well, mainly because I was impressed by how much the other queens were impressed by Jackie. wacky. You get to the end of Untucked and they're all talking about who do you fear? Who's your biggest competition? And so many of them said Jackie. And I think even Jackie was a little surprised by that. But it's clear that what she gave us during the, and I hate to even call it a mini challenge because it was definitely part of the judging overall, but the two runway looks that they got, was it spring and fall, I guess, that they got to do? They gave us two runway looks for the quote unquote mini challenge. And then everything else after that with the main challenge and then another runway. And I feel like Jackie just overperformed across the board to the point where everybody does see her as big competition now.
Yeah, well, you know, Jackie was surprised and I was surprised as well. Not that I didn't appreciate what she brought to the runway and, you know, obviously the story that she has going on for her. But I did feel like her spring, we'll get to it, but I just felt like that look was sort of like a redo of her promo look. It's like the same like 50s or 60s mod type deal. I was like, okay, mm-hmm. So this is the second time that we're seeing this in a matter of a week. So. And she, you know, she's not shy about talking about how retro her stuff is. And I'm like, that's great, but let's not do the same retro look. Let's do another, like, take me somewhere else. So I mean, obviously it's great once again that we are getting so much more time with these queens. Cause I feel like Jackie Cox in a regular season where all the queens are smashed together, she fades. She mm-hmm. fades into the background, but this episode gave us a lot more to work with. So I can understand why the queens are sort of gravitating towards someone who's a little bit more cerebral than the rest. I think that this entire episode was a bit more cerebral, right on down to the judging panel. But I'm really excited to see what she brings next. You know, I'm not as taken with her right now. But I can understand where everybody else is coming from.
I certainly agree with that. That so many of these queens, I felt like, would have faded in a 13-member mega cast premiere. But we got to have intimate conversations with some of them. Even the mirror talk that we got to have with Jackie was really great. And even, like, it was so great to have all of them on the runway for criticisms. I mean, there are seasons, people, where we have queens who don't even get criticism on the runway until like episode 4. I know queens that are like, I don't even care if I'm in the bottom. I want to be on the main stage so that I can get criticism on what they like and what they don't like about what I'm doing. And this was so great to have everybody on the main stage to get up close criticism from the judges right from the jump.
I really felt like I got to know everybody. And
yeah,
I would love this every season. I would be 100% down just because I feel like even if the cast wasn't necessarily as strong, I still get a chance to know them instead of having the people fade into the background.
Yeah.
So I agree.
Yep.
All right. Well, speaking of not fading into the background, Rumail, Rue's contacts, that stood out to me. It's like, oh my God, girl. At least we're away from the fish eye lens that we had to deal with the Drag
yes.
Race UK. So uh-huh. Thank God. And then we get Rue coming into the workroom and we have our first mini challenge. Although, as you alluded to, Brent, it did seem to be part of the official judging towards the end, whereas, you know, like the All Stars 2 swing your testicle balls in a croquet style game mini challenge was obviously never included in the main judging, but whatever, that's fine. And it is Fashion Week, sponsored by Bubbly Sparkling Water here on RuPaul's Drag Race. And I don't know if you guys caught, but the Kanye West and Kim Kardashian.
Bitch! They were so good. Oh, go ahead.
Mayhem,
sorry, I didn't
Miller
interrupt you.
And Gia Gunn.
Who was it again? Sorry.
It was Mayhem and Gia.
I thought that it was Mayhem and Raja, but now that you're saying that, oh yeah, that must have been Gia Gunn. Holy shit.
So is Gia Gunn and who?
Mayhem Miller.
Mayhem Miller and Gia Gunn. Wow. That yeah. was well done, bitch. I didn't know who it was, but I knew that they looked damn good. They like it said not Kim Kardashian and not Kanye West. Uh-huh. And I was like if I hadn't been paying attention, I think that I could have been convinced that it was Kim Kardashian and Kanye West. They look so good. Oh my God. Always here for it.
All right, let's talk about some of these looks. Amon, of the spring collection, did anything stand out to you, good or bad?
Okay, so Britta's look was just not spring to me. She looked like the blue fairy from Pinocchio. I was like, what spring? Where? Which one? With what planet? I just wasn't. I understand like the pastel type deal thing going on.
It was
but
more
it
winter.
Just did not, it just didn't give me spring. I did appreciate Heidi and Closet's ensemble. It didn't hold together quite well, but it was nice. I liked Jackie's, of course. I mean, like I said, it was sort of like a redux of what we've already seen from her in the promo, but it was still, you know, nicely tailored. I liked, like, you know, like the little bejeweled thing that had going on. Widow Von Du. Okay.
Bitch. Listen,
I am all for thinking outside of the box and being bold, but she looked like Missy Elliott and the freaking Easter Bunny got into a fight at the highlighter section of an Office Max. Okay. So loud, so brash, so in your face. I couldn't take it. It wasn't ugly, but it wasn't pretty for me either. I don't know. I just didn't get spring. I got assault on my eyeballs. But
okay, those are fighting words, because as far as the spring look goes, the Widow Von Du is got 1 point, everybody else zero. Like, this was it. This was the one that won the spring look for me. I know it was assaulting your eyeballs. That's what good drag does. It was so amazing. And not only that, it had a point of view. I knew exactly who this bitch was, what she's going to give me on the runway each and every week on RuPaul's Drag Race. And I was so fucking here for it. I mean, this was like outside of the box and then some. It wasn't like, look at what Britta gave us, okay? And then look at what Widow Von Du gave us. They're both big girls. They both have similar points of view in that they have great personalities. They love being out there and giving everybody life. But look who gave us something that was like, wow, that made me look twice and then some. Everything about Widow Von Du's look in the spring collection I was here for, from the fact that she had the jacket that she had on and then she took off as she walked down the runway, from the heels to the makeup to the hair. Bitch. I mean, she's a big girl who looks hot as fuck, and I am so here for it, Liana. Oh, my God. Please break the tie on this one.
Okay. As, of course, the tiebreaker, I have to side with Brent on this one. I'm sorry, Aman. I also really loved it. I love me some neoprene and, like, bold, loud, and in your face. I mean, that's lovely to me. And so I really liked it. The shapes also, the weird pockets were sort of unique, but in a cool way. And I thought that it was really cool. It was probably my favorite spring look out of all of them. The other ones that I liked were Jackie's. I really liked Gigi's, although, you know, again, another helmet. And actually, Crystal's was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it, but I know that's not necessarily a popular opinion.
See, I sort of like have the same issue with Crystal's. Like, the colors for me are so I don't know what it is. Like, when I think of spring, right, I think of, like, you know, light, airy, fluffy.
And oh my God.
I'm getting a different take on Widow's view after listening to you speak, but I definitely take your point about it being a certain point of view, but it's just not a part of my color palette. Like, I would throw up if I were gonna. But it is drag, and drag gives people the opportunity to think outside of the box, so boom, boom, boom on all of those.
So
points.
You must have loved Gigi Good then, because that, as far as color palette goes, I feel like she was the most like normal spring color palette that you could probably have going. What did you think of Gigi's spring look? Come on.
I did love Gigi's look, but the thing that detracts from Gigi for me is, once again, she's talking about her mom, how her mom made it. And I'm like, okay, well, okay, I was enjoying it up until you said that.
Yeah.
Now I'm just thinking about how your mom is a seamstress and how we're going to keep hearing this all season long.
Yeah, I will also say Heidi in Closet, and I love the fact that her name is irritating the fuck out of Rue and Michelle, but they're determined to rename her. But I love Heidi in Closet. I love that name. It's such a draggy kind of name to me, because I love puns. I love Mike Bloom. I love puns and drag. I love this look. This was a spring look to a T, and I love how she came out there all fierce with that, like, billowing cape, just like blowing in the wind. And yeah, it came off when she got, you know, going up down the runway again. But who cares? She walked like a queen, and like, you know, if it just put a little more super glue on it next time, and it'll be fine.
Yo, she started walking so fast when that thing came
up. Yeah, I know,
like,
right?
Get off the stage, get off the stage, get off the stage.
Nikki Dolls, I felt, was a little boring for a spring look. Her fall look was definitely much more successful to me, but I felt like the spring look, like Britta's, almost could have been viewed as a winter look to me, because it fell in the sort of blue, kind of, you know, purple icicle kind of motif. So I didn't care for her spring look as much as I did for everything else.
Or even fall. I could see Nikki's look being very fall.
Yeah, I agree.
I have to go back to Heidi's look because I hated this. This was not spring to me. This looks like the bed sheets I had when I was a kid growing up. Okay. That's what I was getting. Like,
she's Liana's on a budget. Okay, Liana, don't hate.
Liana's 10-year-old bedroom realness. But the charisma and, you know, confidence that she had when her thing fell off and you could see her civil rights hair and she just kept going. I have to give her credit for that. So while I didn't like the look, I did like the way that she walked the runway.
I will say that the cape sort of like exactly matches the dress if you look at it up close, and it's very hard to tell any silhouette whatsoever because I can't tell where the dress ends and where the cape begins. So I think that that's a valid criticism, but everything else I thought was totally on par.
All right, let's talk about the fall looks. I really want to talk about, speaking of a bad look, I want to talk about a good look from Heidi in Closet, because I loved her fall look, and the hair also was so dramatic. It didn't fall off this time. And the fact that she did the death drop on the runway, okay, maybe, I don't know, maybe that was too much, but I thought it was really, really great, Aman.
Yeah, it was the one of the ones that sort of like was eye popping for me, you know, obviously very autumnal. It worked very well with her brown skin. It was very like a dragged out younger version of like Patti LaBelle to me. It just, and of course, like the death drop is just, you know, you just got to give it to him real quick if you're going to be on RuPaul's Drag Race. I did not particularly care for Widow Von Du's spring look, but the fall look, the pants, let's go. Yes, that reminded me of like almost every black woman at my local church growing up. Those pants, that beige, that afro. I was here for it.
The afro was huge. Here. It was absolutely massive. I was so here for it. It wasn't my favorite look of the fall looks, but it was definitely up there. I think that of the fall looks, the people who did exceptionally well to me were Crystal Method and Heidi in Closet. I mean, I think that's where it begins and ends, because as we already talked about, Heidi in Closets was the epitome of a fall palette to me, but everything else about it really brought it home, from the shoes to the bracelets to the hair to the earrings to the makeup. Like, I think her makeup definitely needed help in various parts of this episode, but this was one part where I don't think she did a really bad job as far as her makeup goes. But honey, I think the fall collection was won by Miss Crystal fucking Method, because that Freddy Krueger look, I would never have thought to do Freddy Krueger on the runway as a drag queen and turn it into a fall look, and it succeeds across the board, from the makeup to the, she did change her makeup slightly for this one, to the way her hair looks, to the way that the shirt and the blouse is put together with almost safety pins holding the different patches together. I mean, I just am so astounded by the creativity of some of these queens and what they do. My only slight critique would be that the little trick-or-treat thing that she's carrying looks a little bit $5, like, or a dollar store insofar as the little trick-or-treat pumpkin that she's carrying along the way. I thought she could have bedazzled that a little bit, but outside of that, I thought this was a clear winner, and I was so happy with it.
I think she needed maybe some sort of if she could have pulled something out of it, like a knife or something that she was gonna torture people with, I don't know, maybe that would have worked for the look. But
yeah,
I get your criticism.
Did you guys not love it? I thought it was the clear winner.
No, I loved it. I love it when queens think outside of the box like that. Because, you know, fall is not just, you know, it's not just, you know, the fashion. It's back to school. It's Halloween.
Yeah.
It's Thanksgiving. There's so much that you can take from fall. So I love it when queens actually, you know, seek to embody a theme in another way. And I agree. I really wish that the pumpkin was like, maybe not so much bedazzled, but maybe like matches, like maybe it was like a fabric pumpkin, you know what I mean? That matches like her ragtag nature. Like, And then of course I wish that we could have like seen like a more of a close up on the hair. Cause we didn't get to see it until Carson pointed it out later on in the episode that the hair was made out of bandages. Like, come on. That's like the kind of attention to detail that makes Drag Race so special. And I want to be able to see that kind of shit.
I'm so glad you brought that up because I actually missed that. I know that we got to see the hair later on the episode, but I didn't realize that it was made out of bandages. So that is so fucking amazing. Like everything about this look was a success for me. I loved it.
I think it was definitely my top. I really liked Nikki Doll's look, though, too. I know that it's maybe a little bit more, I don't know, predictable, especially coming from her as kind of this Paris look queen. Yeah. But I thought it was really, really gorgeous. And then
it was.
And Jackie's was, I get it, same a little samey with doing more period drag. But I thought that this was amazingly put together. And if you're going to talk about attention to detail, like she had all the accents in the right places. The shoes, there's a strip of sparkles on the shoes that match the coat that just tie the whole thing together. And it seems like at least when it comes to these types of looks, she has it. Now, is it going to be repetitive coming up in these next couple episodes? I don't know. We'll have to see. But this look for me, I really enjoyed.
One thing I learned last year on RuPaul's Drag Race was that you have to be able to walk the runway with some sort of confidence. And if that confidence is lacking, that the judges really feel it. And I got that feeling from Jackie Cox. I didn't feel like she walked the runway with any sort of conviction or confidence. And I am worried about that moving forward for her, that she doesn't really feel like she belongs. She sort of just came out there and let me be clear. Both those outfits were definite successes in my eyes, but I felt like she just sort of came out there and showed them. There wasn't any sort of performance with it. There wasn't any sort of panache that she gave it to us with. It was just sort of walk down the runway, look at the camera, walk back. And I needed more than that. So I don't know if you guys think that's fair or not, but I wasn't impressed as much.
She did do it a little bit also on the Maxi Challenge Sparkle runway look too. So I get what you're saying. I'm hoping that now after this Untucked, she'll have more confidence. Like, girl, you are here and could win, you know, bring that confidence to the runway.
Yeah, like Sasha Velour on her season, she was definitely a queen that had a point of view, and some of it was a little bit dated, but she also kept it somewhat modern. But it always felt like she performed when she walked down the runway. She had the confidence of a winner, which in the end, I felt like was licensed enough for RuPaul to crown her at the end. Was like, okay, this could be a viable winner for our season. She's performed well enough and she acts like a queen on the runway. Like, Jackie's gonna have to have more confidence than this for me to want to crown her as the winner of RuPaul's Drag Race.
Mm-hmm. Now we have to talk about Crystal de-dragging. I mean, we have to talk about the de-dragging in general, but Crystal with the mullet, who looks like 80s Weird Al out of drag, was so funny. And the fact that she has the One Direction tattoo, but in Arabic, was just giving me life out of the whole de-dragging scene. That was my personal favorite moment, Aman.
No, when I was watching this, I literally let out a gasp. I was like, who the hell is that? I had no idea. Like, I mean, sometimes, you know, we've had our fair share of queens that get out of drag and you're like, oh, wow, they look so much different. It's such a transformation, but you can still tell who the hell it is. I had no idea who the fuck I was looking at when she took off her drag. I was so floored. But that being said, I stand by my original comment. And I was like, I was sort of like getting into it with one of her friends that I was watching it with. I just think that Nikki Doll is so adorable outside of drag. My friend does not agree with me, but I like Nikki Doll out of drag. I think that he's just like such a, I don't know. He's, you know, he's the exchange student. I just want to be his friend. I want to get to know him more.
Aww. What did you think, Aman, then about the PAs continuing to correct the English? I saw some people really didn't like that.
Well, we knew that was going to happen. Yeah. Like, you know, I mean, you just got to take advantage of all of that whenever you can. Like, and I think that he's being a good sport about it, especially with the whole hummus thing. Like, he's like, oh my God, hummus. Like, so I think, you know, as long as he's not too annoyed with it, I'm fine with it.
I don't
also
know
I felt like at various times that Nikki was like sort of asking, like she would say like, conquer, like is that how you say it? Like, oh, conquer, like, you know, like she was sort of asking for their correction in the way that she said things, or she was saying it in a quizzical manner. I think there was one or two times where she just flat out said something, but it didn't make sense whatsoever, and then the PAs corrected her, and she was like, oh yeah, like, you know what I mean, like I wasn't that offended by that. I mean, like, yeah, I'm trying, this is always a very touchy area, but I feel like if you're going to be on RuPaul's Drag Race, and if you're going to want to speak the English language on RuPaul's Drag Race, then it's not out of bounds for a PA who also speaks the English language to then correct you if you get something wrong. Like, if I do something wrong in public and I say something wrong on a podcast, I would want people to then correct me and say, hey, Brent, you got that one wrong. Like, here's how you say it. And I'd be like, oh, thanks. It's not xenophobic. It's just being a human.
It's a TV show. It's a TV show that's shot here in America. And, you know, not to be that American that's like, you must speak English. Of course, you know, feel free to speak your native language. But if you're on a TV show, I mean, come on. Like, you're, like, who are you talking to? You're talking to a bunch of people that don't speak French, so.
I think I prefer Lemurian instead of lemur.
Yes,
that's a cooler word anyway. And the fact that, yeah, that comparison, that, was it Heidi, is the cross between a lemur and Mayhem Miller. Oh, that was so good. Okay, so
that was a read.
That was a read. It was a read.
Okay, so Nikki is your crush, Amon, or no, just you want to be his best friend?
I just want to be his best friend. I'm so infatuated with Nikki Doll.
No, I want to fuck Nikki Doll. I could also fuck Crystal Method and Widow Von Du. I think there was a lot of fun boys on this season, so they were definitely giving me life. And I agree with your assessment of Nikki Doll. Like, even just the way he talks and the way he carries himself is so sensual and sexual, and it just gives me life, bitch. I was here for it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, after we get the next six queens, we can talk about the trade of the season, unless you want to put in an early pick for one of these seven.
I think it's fair to say that Crystal Method and Nikki Doll are going to be the early picks for trade of the season.
All right, lock it in. Let's get into the Maxi Challenge. So the Maxi Challenge this week was to write and record an original rap verse to the song I'm That Bitch. And then they had to do a team choreographed routine to perform it live on the main stage, which is so shady by the producers. I love the fact that they were like, all right, we have all these new queens who don't know each other. Oh, enjoy working together and trying to figure out all your social dynamics. Bye.
Yeah, this was great. I like this challenge. It gives us instantly an opportunity to see the queens butting heads. You know that they're mostly alpha personalities. They're going to have their opinions. They're used to being the big fish in the small pond, wherever they come from. Even the queens that are from New York, they're still at the top of their game. So they're going to be used to doing things how they want to do them. And they're going to have ideas. And of course, I love the fact that Widow Von Du is so adept at reality television, where she realizes quickly that by becoming the captain, okay, everybody elects her as captain with Heidi in Closet, and then they start immediately second guessing her, and she's like, look, if I'm gonna be the captain, I'm not gonna be second guessed, so fuck y'all, you can do it. So I love the fact that she was like, you know what, I'm not gonna be set up for failure. If you guys want me to lead, I'm going to lead, but if you don't want me to lead, then I'm just going to shut up and take orders. And I was here for it. So I thought it was a very fun challenge, and I was really impressed at the results based on some of the rehearsals. And they always do this on RuPaul's Drag Race. I should know by now. I've watched 12 seasons of RuPaul's Drag Race. I should know that they always make the rehearsals look so bad, so that when you get to the actual challenge, it looks so good by comparison. And I definitely got the feeling after watching the challenge and watching the runway, and usually the producers will try to give you clues along the way. Like, they'll show a quizzical look from RuPaul or from Michelle when somebody who's about to be in the bottom does something to let you know that Michelle or Ru doesn't necessarily approve of what's going on stage. But we never really got that from them in this episode. So that's when I started to think, oh, maybe no one's going to be eliminated in this episode. Like, I definitely, there was a definitely a point in time as we were moving through things that I felt like, okay, I don't feel like there's any obvious boot here. And they're going to, like, the audience has to feel invested in the fact that someone gets the boot for a reason. Otherwise, it's not fair. Like, this isn't Big Brother Canada. So we have to have a reason to the story of why somebody gets the boot. So once I saw them performing so well in this main challenge, I really felt like, if the producers were going to get rid of somebody, it was going to be by the skin of their teeth. And I was glad to see in the end that they didn't get rid of anybody, because this whole performance was life to me. I've watched it at least a half dozen times.
Wow. Aman, were you as positive about the performance?
Yeah, I mean, it was fantastic. Like, and they do like to fake us out a lot of the time by making the rehearsal seem extra horrible, and you got people that are actual choreographers trying to take charge. You got people that don't know how to do choreography but know what good choreography looks like, so they want to throw in their two cents. And then you got two choreographers button heads. Like, it was just a lot. So I was sort of nervous. I mean, the production got me again. I didn't really see the light at the end of the tunnel, but the finished product was pretty dang good. I mean, right? I think what made it good was the fact that I forget which queen was like, whenever someone's, you know, whoever's verse it is, they should be the main focus of the show. That worked very well, because if you notice, like, whenever somebody is taking the main stage and they're doing their part of the rap, the other girls aren't doing anything necessarily that intricate. It was just in the beginning and in the end where things started to ramp up in the choreography department. And I think that that's always the best way to go. When you have queens that aren't necessarily adept at dancing, I was rolling my eyes at Gigi Good when she said in her freaking intro package that she knows how to perform, but then she couldn't even do the most simplest fucking arm roll. I was like, bitch, get it together. But she pulled it out at the end. And I mean, for this to be, somebody tweeted of this is like the first episode, but it looks like the final seven. Yeah. I mean, it was,
it was
some good shit.
Like, it was, you good know, like shit.
They gave them the time to do it. And, you know, it's going to make it that much harder to say goodbye to these queens when they do end up getting eliminated, because you're always going to think back to this first episode where it was so good, you know.
But at least they got the full experience, though, Aman. I really loved so many of these verses that they wrote. I agree with your assessment that when the queens are like the focus, that the other queens shouldn't be doing much. But I do love when they involve them, such as when Gigi came up there and was like, hi, queens. Hi, Gigi. Like the queens responded to her. I love that she kept them involved with that. I think that you can't talk about the verses without talking about the performances, because like Widow Von Du and Heidi in Closets verses were great, but it was augmented by the fact that they had these amazing performances on the runway, and it was just, or on the main stage, and it was just absolutely fabulous to watch. Like, you instantly got a sense of what they bring and how they approach their drag, which is 100% full throttle, giving you everything, giving you life. Like, you need life, you go to them if you want to get some. I love that Britta, even though she didn't, like, I thought that was a sort of unfair criticism to say, we want to know who you are, and your verse didn't really tell us. Like, I don't know that you can really tell people who you are in a, you know, 4 or 8 line verse and trying to make things rhyme. Like, it's
right?
Not,
like, I mean, like, yeah. It was like, it was a couple of stanzas. Like, what did you want? Like an MLA formatted essay? Like, what? Come on, yeah. Michelle. Like, that
I thought that was out of bounds by Michelle. But on the other hand, I do enjoy the fact that they got from it what they needed to get from it, which is the energy that Britta has. That's the thing about Britta in the lip sync, or in the performance, that I guess it is a lip sync, but in the performance, I felt like Britta gave us a so-so verse, a so-so choreography, but her energy was everything. You instantly, like, I agreed with Nicki Minaj, who we haven't even talked about yet, when she said to Britta, you have an energy that is so warm and so inviting, and that is so hard to come by in entertainment. Like, when you have that, that is just gold. And I feel like Britta is going to get by on so much of RuPaul's Drag Race based on the fact that you just love her so much. She has such great energy about her. And so I felt like that she definitely got points just for that alone.
Yeah, let's just dig into everything. Let's talk about this performance. So we get Nicki Minaj as our guest judge, which I think she did an absolutely amazing, amazing job. I really appreciated all of her comments. I know some were a little harsh, especially the ones to Heidi, but I thought that she took her job seriously and she gave really valid critiques. So I was really happy that she was there. Aman, what did you think about the intro when Nicki comes in and then like scoots away later? I thought it was really cute, and I'm amazed that Rue let Nicki do that. Let anybody come in on her stage.
Yeah, I loved it too. I mean, obviously it was so scripted, but it didn't really detract from it. It was so cute. I loved when the light hit Nikki's face and she did that epic turn onto the runway. Yeah. It was just, I literally got chills from that. I was like, okay. And you know what? Like, I've had a tough road with Nicki Minaj. Musically, pop star speaking, like, that's a podcast for another day. But this particular branch of Nicki Minaj's career, reality TV career, I loved it. I loved everything that it brought. I loved the whole little bit. I loved Carson and Michelle acting gobsmacked that she was there. She looked fire. Her hair was fire. The dress was fire. Everything was great. She looked great.
Mm-hmm. Brent, did you have any thoughts on Nicki?
She was a freaking goddess, and we loved her for it. Like, I love it that it's season 12 and freaking Nicki Minaj is one of the guest judges on RuPaul's Drag Race. I'm actually pretty confident that the other six queens who are going to be on next week they're not getting Nicki Minaj as their guest judge. And I'm sure they're very bitter for it because she was absolutely outstanding. And to get a chance to perform a rap lip sync for Nicki Minaj was just an absolute dream. So I'm sure these queens were absolutely pinching themselves.
Mm-hmm. I said the same thing. And my roommate, who's a big Robin fan, was like, oh, well, fuck that. I'd rather be on Robin's week. And I was like, oh, okay, guess different strokes for different folks,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, who's the other guest judge that's on with
Candy
Robin
Newton.
Okay, so I was trying to do these, you know, celebrity math, and it was one Tandy Newton plus Robin equals Nicki Minaj, apparently.
Yeah.
All right. Before we get into the performance, let's take a quick break for our sponsors. And we're back. Okay, let's go through this absolutely amazing performance. I agree with what y'all were saying before. I thought that it was so fun and so fantastic. I did think that some of the background dances were a little muted at times, but I think that that was kind of the point because really the focus was on each one of these queens. Let's start talking about Britta. I have to give my thoughts first.
Yeah, go.
Even though, yeah, generic. Okay, sure. But just the energy that she brings, I really do co-sign that. I thought that she was so fun, and I don't know how many freaking gowns she's going to wear, but I kind of don't care for now because I thought that she was just a great way to kick off the show. Brent, what did you think?
Yeah, I agree with your assessment. I mean, I basically shot my load on Britta already. Like, I told you what I thought of Britta. Like, everything about her just invited warmth and energy, and you just want to be her friend. So I don't think you can't quantify the energy that she has. It's just something that is innate inside of her, and that's what gives her the confidence to perform as a drag queen day in, day out, and be at the top of her game in New York City. So bravo, girl. I absolutely loved it.
Aman, did you have anything to add about Britta?
My favorite thing about her rap is, you know, the paying homage to the great Britney Spears and saying it's Britta bitch. Like, I mean, you can never go wrong with that for me.
Yeah.
Yes. Do we want to talk about their looks here as well? Or do we want to save that for the end?
We can talk about the runway looks.
Yeah, about the runway looks. So the theme here was sparkles. And this, thankfully, she did not wear another gown here. She actually had I don't know even what you would call it. It was like this pants with the peplum, an absolutely gorgeous silhouette, Brent. I thought that this was really pretty.
Yeah, I liked everything about this except for the makeup. I felt like the makeup was a little bit harsh for this one. Maybe I can get some disagreements from that, but I felt like it didn't accent the face the way I think she wants it to. It made her look a little bit harder than what I'm used to, but also her shoulders are a little bit harder. They're definitely more pointed. The bone structure with the way that her face reads from her chin to the top of her head reads a little bit more oblong than normal. So maybe that's what's causing it. But overall, I felt like this was a fantastic look. It was definitely a win for me as far as from the performance to the runway. Overall in the episode, I mean, basically she's a queen that has no weakness in my eyes. She doesn't have anything at least that I've seen so far with what they've been asked to do, who just doesn't, she doesn't perform badly. She knows when she gets on stage how she has to stomp the runway, how she has to lip sync, how she has to dance. And I'm so here for it. Like, give me more.
Mm-hmm. Aman, what'd you think of her look?
She said at the beginning of the episode that sometimes she gets mistaken for a black woman. And if she wears hair like that often, I can see why. I think that she does sort of like, she is giving me, she's giving me black lady with that hair.
She's Polynesian, right?
Yeah.
She is, yeah. Mm-hmm. The Moana of Manhattan, as she likes to refer to herself. I wish that the look was a little bit more sparkly. Now, that may have something to do with more just of like lighting and just like it's not really, it just wasn't hitting the jewels the way that I wanted it to. So I'll, you know, I'm not going to be too harsh on that. But other than that, I thought it was a great look.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Crystal. Crystal, who we now know is from Missouri, she told us, and she wants to make her mama proud, and she's weird. Those are her overall lyrical vibes. Aman, what did you feel about her performance and her look this week?
I liked the performance. I'm like trying to scroll over to the look and it will not allow me to.
You know what you need to do is click on the pictures themselves and then it'll let you click through to the next one. So there's yeah.
Sorcery. Yeah. Okay, here we go. Oh yeah, the devil look. Okay, yeah. Yeah.
With the horns.
I was a fan of that. I loved the ruffles. It was like really like, you know, taking you back to like 17th century type, like Mozart type deal, and with that tail, and then those red bottoms, if you can even call them that. Yeah, it was once again very costumey. She certainly, you know, has like that. That's her shtick. She likes to, you know, seem like she's coming out of like a costume catalog, but I think that it worked for her for the sparkle runway.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out what's going on with her hair, Liana. So, like, it looks like the hair is sort of crafted around her ears. Like, I'm having trouble seeing where her, or is she using her wig to cover up her ears?
I think she just has these ringlets that are in front of the ears, and then it seems like the rest of the wig is maybe behind. I don't know if she has prosthesis on her ears, just the horns on her head.
Okay, I'm not sure about that either, but overall, I thought this was an absolute success. I loved everything about this. It was fun. It was original. It was giving me life. It is like drag with a capital D. I know that there are things to be concerned with. The makeup can be a little bit repetitive overall. And like, I know that Michelle is not a big fan of like that white line, like underneath her eye or, you know, right in the crevice of her eye line there. But overall, I just loved everything about this. It was making me smile on the runway. And it's not easy to get those sort of horns to like attach to your head and not fall off. Like I felt like she did a fantastic job. And I'm so here to see like what this little queen has to give us, because Widow Von Du, who's also from Missouri, was like, Crystal has a lot to offer, and I think you guys are not ready for her. Like, you might be surprised what you get out of Crystal. Of the queens that I saw on this episode of RuPaul's Drag Race, she was the one who I feel like I was not as impressed preseason. And now I'm like, oh, I can't wait to see what you give me, because you definitely also have a point of view, and that makes me smile.
Mm-hmm. They talk about how when a queen walks around the corner of the runway, are you excited to see what they're going to bring? And she is the queen that I'm excited to see what she's going to bring, because in no world would I have ever thought for a sparkles look to do the devil. That just doesn't even cross my mind. And her makeup skills here are just on point. The fact that she can contour with her red face makeup and then essentially create the lights and darks with the other colors that aren't just sort of the natural skin tones that you do, that takes some serious talent. The only thing that bothers me is that freaking Elizabethan collar. I just want to rip it off her neck so
I love it.
If it was gold, I think it would have fit, or if the fabric had been a little different. It just feels like maybe she's the queen that needs to just take one thing off, like leave the little pumpkin at home, take the collar off. Well,
we said that she was going to be the accessorization queen in the last episode.
she did cover herself in pearls, so this is just the extension of that.
Yeah, I see what you're coming from on that. It does look a little cheap comparatively to the rest of the costume. It almost looks like a bunch of coffee filters put together. Yeah. Like, there's no real bling to it. So I agree with your assessment that a little more bling would have been in order here.
Mm-hmm. Now we move into talking about Gigi, who had my favorite verse of the entire performance. Brent, do you agree with me?
Yeah, I thought Gigi was absolutely fantastic. I love the fact that you see her come out at the beginning and you think she's sort of a prim and proper queen. She's like, you know, hi, girls. Hi, Gigi. And then, you know, she's rapping a little bit and talking a little bit. And all of a sudden she just goes freaking berserk, and like she can move her body in these weird and interesting ways. And I was like, oh my God, like I never expected that. Again, it's all about expectations. You walk into this episode and I didn't get a lot from Gigi Good. We always, I compared her to Cameron Michaels on my initial assessment of her. Like, oh, she's a Southern queen. She's going to be a look queen. She probably doesn't have a lot of personality. She might be able to lip sync, but who knows? And then she comes out here and absolutely blows us away and blows RuPaul away. I felt like overall, like she just gave me life during this verse, and to the point where I smiled when Nicki Minaj was so taken with her pun that she did in the reading of her verse. Like, I'm going to leave you on read or unread or whatever the wording was there. It made Nicki Minaj smile. What are you yeahing about, Amon?
So I mean, Nicki Minaj is talking about how that was a double entendre. I honestly don't think that that's what she was going for.
No.
I think that that's probably something that Nicki thought of. And even then, it's really not that elegant of a double entendre, because it's not really, leave a bitch on read does not mean that you read the bitch. Like, it's just, those are two different things. But I mean, if Nicki likes it, then...
So you think that Nicki is giving her credit for something that Gigi wasn't even aware of?
Yes. If there's anything that I'm going to give Gigi credit for, aside from like her verse was great, I liked it. I just think that if there's something I'm going to give her credit for, it's that she was clearly paying homage to Nicki Minaj with the body convulsions and the stuttering, because that is classic Nicki Minaj. You listen to any Nicki Minaj verse, or if you watch some Nicki Minaj videos, especially back in the early 2010s, there's a bunch of like, that's Nicki's thing. And so she probably put that in there for Nicki, and that's, but like the lyricism of it all, I don't know if it was as elegant as Nicki was making it seem.
I agree with Amon here. I didn't think that that was what she intended, especially because it was here to win and leave a bitch on red. And then Nicki said a bitch on read. And I was like, you don't leave it to people on read.
So yeah, like, it's red.
It's like, that's not what that means. Or am I just an idiot? Like, those are the thoughts that were running through my head. So
I was asking around too. I was like, I don't, because like if you read somebody, like, and you left them on, No.
I like don't get it. But if maybe it is genius and just we're the, you know, the peasants that can't understand.
Yep.
But, you know, I mean, her performance, it's going to be really interesting because we get to see her lip sync later. It's going to be interesting to see her performances throughout the season and if she can really stand out in the performances and continue to do so throughout the season. So I'm interested to see how that goes. Now, Heidi and Closet. Oh my gosh, who had a freaking allergic reaction and then was in the hospital all night and then all of a sudden was here. And I love that Jackie, and we didn't really talk about this, but in the workroom was like, yeah, well, we're going to need you to turn some stunts. And did Heidi turn some stunts? She definitely did, Brent.
She was amazing. I mean, like, leaving aside for a moment the fact that she had an allergic reaction and ended up in the hospital with hives or whatever the hell was going on with her. I mean, I was so impressed by her. I just had me living for her performance during the lip sync. It had so much life and fire, and you could tell that she was pulling every trick out of her bag to impress RuPaul and make sure she didn't go home during the first episode, which I'm sure she was fearing after being around all of these amazing queens. And then to come onto the runway and give us a pretty fantastic look. Yes, the makeup has its issues. Yes, the hairline isn't great. Yes, the concealer probably needs a little bit more help. But overall, I felt like I was coming away from this episode going, I need more Heidi in closet in my life. I don't need her in the closet. I need her in my life. So I loved Heidi, man. I really did. She just makes me smile. I mean, we've seen this on RuPaul's Drag Race before. The queen who comes from the South, who lives in a town where there's more chickens than people, who, you know, doesn't have a lot of money and gets up on RuPaul's Drag Race and tries to compete with the big boys. And you're always rooting for them. And I'm rooting for Heidi.
She does this move called the coffee grinder, which I still remember learning how to do back in third grade. And the minute that she did it, I got down on my knees and did it just because I just wanted to like live my third grade oats again. So, and that's the quality of a good performer, is when you want to get up and do the dance with them. And I think that that was just, it was electrifying. It was great. It was, you know, it's everything that you want to see in a performance. So I second that entirely.
Yeah, I just, the turning of the stunts, the energy that she brings was so fun. For me, the look was very rough. So it's hard for me to excuse the makeup, I think, in this case. The gown was gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous. But then it just felt so unfulfilling to have the makeup be so rough. And it's weird because she can clearly paint well, looking at some of her other looks, the makeup doesn't look nearly as bad. So I don't know what happened. She ran out of time or something, because just the makeup girl was real rough here.
Yeah, you could tell she was definitely butthurt by that when Nikki came for her on the runway. I don't think that this was oversold. I think there are things that happened in this episode where it's like they needed a little bit of drama and they created something. However, I think that Nikki coming for her makeup on the runway and her having something to say about it and Untucked and asking Nikki about it, I don't feel like that was fake. I think she was actually kind of hurt by that. And, you know, here's the thing I'll say to Heidi is that be glad you're getting that criticism from somebody like Nicki Minaj, and you're getting it now. You could be getting it in episode 3. When you're getting the boot from RuPaul and Michelle Visage, like you're getting that criticism now. You have this plethora of talent around you. Ask for help. Like RuPaul even said it in this episode, ask for help. You've got a thousand girls around you who all have like hundreds of years, maybe 10, whatever, a lot of drag experience. Ask for help in terms of like, how do you do that? How do you paint your face? How do you make your hairline disappear? Like, how do you do that? And if she can absorb some of that and just be willing to ask for help, I think they will help her and give her a lot of room to grow. But if she's a little prideful about it, then she's going to fizzle out.
I mean, I'm going to be learning just alongside her because, you know, watching the episode for the first time, I was kind of like on her side. I was like, I don't quite understand why Nicki Minaj is going so hard, especially when somebody didn't sat up there and done your own makeup, because you didn't do that shit, Nicki Minaj. So who the fuck do you think you're talking to? But then upon further review, I was like, oh, okay, yeah. Like now I'm starting to understand why Nicki Doll says that she looks like a lemur, because why is your forehead and your cheek and like and everything besides your eyes like several shades darker? It's just not, it doesn't work. And then you have like the jewels that look like they're glued to your forehead that are like just sitting under your it just didn't work. It was not a good look.
It was Untucked when I really noticed how bad the blending around the eyes was. That was when it really stood out to me of like, oh that's real rough. But Nikki was so harsh. I hate your hair and makeup.
I know,
my
like
God.
That many hates.
Yeah.
Damn.
Damn indeed. Actually, okay, speaking of looks, we didn't talk about Gigi's. And the main reason why I want to talk about Gigi's is because the fact that she said Gigi does not use rhinestones, so I'm using glitter, just gave me life. It feels like such a Gigi thing to say.
Yeah, that's a little haughty. I must have missed that. I watched this episode so many times and I still didn't hear her say that. So she doesn't use rhinestones. She uses glitter. Is that what she said?
Yeah, she's like, Gigi does not use rhinestones, I think was the exact quote.
She uses real diamonds. She doesn't use rhinestones. Okay.
Oh, by the way, yes. Anybody listening to this podcast right now, as we're talking about Gigi's runway look, just go ahead and pull out your phone, Google Yoanna, that's Y-O-A-N-N-A, helmet look from America's Next Top Model, and you'll understand exactly what the reference is. I was so pissed when somebody beat me to tweet it and it got like thousands of likes that night. I was like, this is such You see it? Do you see it? Like, it was such a gay moment for me. I was like, it brought everything full circle for me. And I really, really want somebody to ask Gigi. I scan the internet to see if she's like doing any interviews or any podcasts right now. I was like, I want somebody to ask her, was that like an inspiration for you? Because she says she's a fan of America's Next Top Model. I was like, that has to be where she got that from. But I could be wrong, but we'll see.
I loved Joanna on America. That was such a good season of America's Next Top Model.
It was.
I need to rewatch that season. Okay. All right. Let's talk about Jackie here. So Jackie, her performance and her looks. Aman, what did you think overall about Jackie?
Jackie, I don't really remember too much about her lyrics. I have like them all pulled up now just so that I can like refresh my memory, but I think this is probably like the best part of the episode for her. I think that I really got a chance to like really see you know, her come out of like that, you know, because I take your point, Brent, about like how she sort of just like walked out onto the runway and that was sort of it.
Yeah.
But this time around, you know, she sort of like gave it to us a little bit. Oh, I remember this lyric. She said, "Hey, I'm Jackie Miss Cox, if you're naughty. Just like my girls, Laverne, Deb, and Courtney." I loved that. I thought that was a nice little homage to some other celebrities, which I think there was a miss on Nicki Doll's part to not shout out Nicki Minaj. But we'll get to that. But yeah, I liked her performance. As far as the runway look goes, I mean,
it's a meh. Let's be honest. It's not anything special. I was not impressed by this. Again, the hair, it looks that 60s, 70s kind of mod vibe. Like, I'm not impressed by this. This, I need to see something different. I honestly, like, I'm going to be real for a second. Like, watching Jackie Cox throughout this entire episode and just watching her as a boy and watching how she does drag, it felt like a lower rent version of Ms. Cracker. Like, I didn't feel like there was much to see here beyond what she's giving us. Like, I don't think she's capable of stomping down the runway. I don't think she's capable of giving us more confidence. I want to see that I'm wrong, but I'm worried that she is just this sort of queen. Like when she said in her opening few minutes here on the show that I'm not the queen of the nightlife, I'm the queen of the evening life. I think that there's something to that. I don't think she's willing to go outside her comfort zone, and I'm a little worried by that because RuPaul's Drag Race and the challenges of the gauntlet that they provide for you really requires that you do. So we'll see.
I really liked her. I get the criticism and looking forward into the future. Do I think that she could win? No, but I could see her going pretty far just based on what she's bringing to the show. I think she's somebody who also has a lot of confidence. It just needs to translate to the runways, because if you look at her in all of the workroom settings, she's taking the lead. She's taking the Meredith Vieira spot. Like, she is, you know, putting things together. She's not afraid to step up. And I think that if she can just make that work on the runway, because that was really where I felt like disappointed in her, I think, because I liked the runway look. I thought it was gorgeous, but I wanted her to stomp. I was like, girl, take your pill and stomp down the runway. What is this timid gliding? But her performance was really fun, I thought. And I have a feeling like I think I'm going to love her this season. And I, even though she has flaws, I may unapologetically stan her. So that's where I'm at right now. Just so
well,
y'all
that's what
know.
I'm going to be like. Look, I just want to say right up front, that's how I'm going to be with the Widow Von Du. Like, okay. I'm living for her right now. I would crown the bitch now if I could. So until further notice, I'm going to be that way with the Widow.
Okay, good.
I mean, I guess we're probably, she'll probably do a lot better when it comes to like, you know, acting. I feel like that's probably more of her shtick, you know what I mean? So maybe we'll get a couple of episodes where we get to see her shine. But as far, this was a very like fashion runway heavy episode. It was just nothing but runway. So
yeah, Aman, are you I'm curious, do you have a favorite of the seven people that we've seen so far? Like, is there anybody here you're like, you know what, I know I'm going to biasly stan them, and that's just how I am right now?
You know, before recording this podcast, no. But now that I'm like taking the time to like analyze it a little bit more, I'd probably have to go with Nicki Doll. Like, I just feel like I just want to see more. I want to know more. I really appreciated what she had to say when she was taking her critiques during the Untalked. And I'm just, the French seductress it's working on me.
Okay.
Working.
Well, let's talk about Nicki Doll.
Yeah. Speaking of Nicki Doll, Mon, what did you think about her performance and look?
I love the performance. I love the look. The one thing I don't like about the look is I just the damn boots were also as sparkly. The boots were like this matte black, and I was like, that was a miss, honey. Like I said before, the other thing that was a miss was like her not. I mean, she said that Nicki Minaj was her namesake. So how dare you not talk about that in your rap, especially when you spell your fucking name out? Like, come on. Like, I don't know. I just feel like she just really missed the opportunity on that.
Are we buying the fact that she names herself after Nicki Minaj?
What's the reason to lie?
Ass of the guest judge. That's not reason enough to lie and say, oh, yeah, I also named myself after Nicki Minaj. Like, I just feel like it's just Nicki Doll, like Ken Doll. Like, I don't. This sounds like fake news.
Does she spell it in the same way, Nicki Doll? Yeah. I don't think so.
She spells it with a Y. How does Nicki Minaj spell her name? With an I?
With an I, yeah.
Yeah.
She doesn't spell it the same way.
Lies. It's lies. It's fake news.
Lies of Minnelli lies.
Yeah.
It could definitely be a lie. I mean, which would be highlighted by the fact that she did not use that as as something in her rap.
Well, so. I agree with your assessment of that. However, I think that of the places where she succeeded for Nicki Doll, the runway was the best one. Like of the things that I've seen from her, the look that she has on the runway just blew me away. Like this was everything that I needed from her. I felt like her fall look was a little bit expected, and I didn't even really love her spring look. The performance itself was good, not great. But this look on the runway was everything from the makeup skills to the hair to that thing that she has across her neck. What would you even call that, Liana? Like everything else. I mean, like, I guess she could come for the fact that it's a little bit of a bodysuit and, you know, like she's got like, you know, there's not a lot happening below the waist. I think that's probably a fair criticism. But I don't even look when you have a big emblem like that across your neck and breasts, I don't know that you need a lot of stuff happening below you. I felt like that was a good balance.
Not a lot happening below the waist, title of my sex tape. the neck piece was supposed to be the focal point, and so you wanted all eyes drawn there. And I think what was also really great about the neck piece was then you're also drawn up to her face. Oh my freaking god, she is so fucking gorgeous. Like, that's not fair. She looks that fair. Way. She's so, so pretty. And I thought that her performance, her solo, was actually really good, especially because I did clock that in the background she was a little ho-hum, a little muted. But then when she came out for her solo performance, I think maybe because I had seen her be not so great a little bit in the background, then she really stood out. And I liked her rap. I think maybe second to Gigi, which is shocking to me that the two queens that are theoretically the look queens, I think to me, had the best lyrics. But that's where I stand on Nicki Doll.
I mean, like, I am so astounded by how beautiful she is, and that's going to carry her a ways. I mean, there's just no way that this person's going to go home early on RuPaul's Drag Race. I will say that I identified with her when she was talking about the fact that, hey, like during the challenge, my mind was wandering a bit because I was like saying to myself, oh my god, I'm here and I'm performing and Michelle's right there and RuPaul's right there. Like, I totally got where she's coming from on that. I've often thought that I would probably like fade for a second in a reality show if I was ever on said reality show, just to take a moment and take it all in. But on RuPaul's Drag Race, there's not a moment to take it all in, especially when there's only seven of you performing. So, like, it's not like you can fade into the background. It's not like there's 13 people and you can just get away with something like this. They're going to clock it. And I was interested to see that Michelle and Liana both did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I felt the exact same way when she talked about sort of like, you know, having like that outer body experience, being like, oh my god, like to finally like live your dream and to actually be in that moment, it's very overwhelming. I think I think there's always like a piece of these queens that they never, especially the queens that have been wanting this for so long, because there are some of these queens that just find out about Drag Race, put themselves in some heels, end up on the show. But then there are these queens that have been watching the show for years and they finally make it to the main stage. And I have to imagine that they never really get over that initial shock of being on the show. And it's all about how you parlay that into your performance. So I really related with what she had to say about that. And I breathed a huge sigh of relief when Michelle asked her about that. And she took a moment and then she explained herself and she did not cry. I was like, please don't cry. Please do not cry. Just answer the question. It doesn't need to be a sob story. We know you're going to talk about how you came from France and everything. And that's how I take all of the hardships that come with that. But we don't need this to be a sob story. And she didn't. She kept it cute and she kept it pushing, which made me like her even more. So once again, Team Nikki Doll.
Now, speaking of someone who is Team Widow, Brent, what did you think about Widow, this performance and look?
I mean, bitch, come on. This was just giving you life. This was giving me everything I needed on the runway and on the main stage. Like, everything about the Widow Von Du was drag with a capital D, from the runway to the wig to the earrings to the jacket to the dancing. When she danced during that lip sync performance and bent over backwards and kept lip syncing and moved her body in such a way that I didn't even know was possible. In fact, I was actually getting a little bit upset because I'm like, bitch, you may need to lip sync again. Save some of your tricks for next time, okay? Because I felt like she was throwing everything that she can do at RuPaul throughout this episode. And oh my God, I was so here for it. I was so pleased in the end that RuPaul named her as one of the top two. Again, I didn't realize what was going to happen. I didn't realize, like, once they were naming the people who were safe, and I saw it get down to the final three, and I'm like, there's no way she can go home here, right? Like, they're not, like, this, I'm not being blindsided like I was on Survivor, where I didn't understand why someone went home. Like, I really need to understand what's happening here. But I was so glad to see in the end that it was the reverse, that she was actually being applauded for the amazing job that she did throughout this entire episode, from the verse to the choreography to the runway. Everything about it was just, oh my God, I'm on. I was so here for it. And I apologize to those of you who are out there who are like, all I keep saying is that she's giving him life and he's so here for it. And you're right. That's all I can say right now, because the Widow Von Du is just everything I've been looking for. I told Umberto I was going to steal this for the podcast. Umberto is one of our patrons in the RHAP group. But he said that the Widow Von Du is giving us what Silky Nutmeg Ganache tried to give us during last season. She's a big girl who can move and wants to be the fan favorite, and is. And I'm so here for it. So bring it, bitch, okay? Like, come on and win this shit. We need a big girl to win RuPaul's Drag Race. I feel like she can do it.
I mean, there was just so much flavor in that lip sync.
Right?
Salt, pepper, paprika, cayenne, basil, everything. Like, I'm like, just put it all in the pot. Put it all in the pot. But is there ever going to be any leftovers? I fear for her if she casts the lip sync again, because what are you going to do? She's going to have to pray that if she ends up in the bottom, heaven forbid, if she ends up in the bottom again, that they give her some, that the lip sync song is like a ballad or some shit. Like,
right.
Like, yeah. Because there is like, she's done it all. Like, she, the only thing that she didn't do is like punch Rue in the face. Like, what else is there? Like, so I'm fearful of that, but I loved the her look. I thought it was so, once again, like, just very like Missy Elliott to me. Very just like, I love the shoulders and the ruffles and the sequins that, you know, will change color depending on which way you rub them. And
bitch likes a reveal, because she did a reveal during the spring look on the runway, and then she did a reveal in what's eventually going to be the lip sync of this episode, and that was there from the beginning. Like, she came onto the runway and did this runway in an outfit that she knew later, okay, if I end up in the bottom, I'm gonna have a reveal, which I love that kind of forethinking, Leon. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because if she had to lip sync, she was motherfucking ready to do so. Widow, oh my gosh, really, what a great performance. I get Amon, though, the nerves about if she has to perform again, what is she gonna do? I guess she will have to just hop down there and punch RuPaul in the face, because it was all the dance moves.
Yeah, just
everything.
Like, yeah, just even like I'm not even talking about the lip sync that she had against Gigi, which we can talk about, but which was more of the same awesomeness. But just the lip sync that she had in the challenge, and the way she moved her body, and the way she enthralled the judges, was just so amazing. I really think that she's just at the top of her game right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really amazing. And then I think she gave me one of my favorite lines from the evening when she was talking about her runway look. Bitch better have my sprockets, which I don't know when I will ever use that, but I'd love to get it into my normal vocabulary.
Right. I love it when that happens on Drag Race, when they say something and you try to work it into your life.
Yeah. I'm going to be on some other podcast. You're like, bitch, better have my sprockets. And everybody's just going to be like, what are you even talking about?
I did that on, I was on This Week in Survivor with Rob and Jordan this past week. And I had heard Latrice Royale say, bitch, you have just been let had, served on a platter. So when the results of Survivor came in and someone particularly got their face clocked during this last tribal council, I won't say who, so in case you haven't watched it, but I was like, you have just been let had, served on a platter. So I work in Drag Race into my normal podcasting as well, Liana.
So good. So good. All right. I want to talk about when... For each of you, did it click? And Brent, you talked a little bit about this, that no one was going home. Because for me, it was when Nikki was safe. When Nikki was safe, I was like, oh, no one's going home. There's absolutely no way.
Yeah. I think it was during Nikki, sort of, but I wasn't totally convinced. But then once Heidi and Closet was called safe, then I was like, okay, I know for sure she would have been in the bottom if there was a bottom. So, yeah, like there's no freaking way that Widow Von Du is in the bottom. There's just no way. She was just absolutely amazing across the board. In fact, I thought she was the winner. So I was like, if I'll be real, if they called her in the bottom, I was like, I'm going to have to give up podcasting about it. So there may be people out there who are like, damn, I wish she'd have been in the bottom so we don't have to listen to Brent no more. But like. She was amazing. There was no way she was going to be in the bottom. Come on. I love her little confessional where she was like, what? I'm in the bottom. What? Like, she's like, I would have threw something, but there's nothing to throw. So I'm mad.
That's very me. I love that energy. And then, yeah, we get into the lip sync. So revealed that we do have the final two, but they're the top two. So we get Gigi versus Widow. Amon, did you like this lip sync overall?
I did. I appreciate the fact that Gigi, you know, sort of tried to go into her own lane and perform comedically. Because that's always like, sometimes I always consider that such a cheap way to go for some queens. Because I'm like, okay, so you clearly are not a dancer, but now you're just making a mockery of the song. But I think that there's a good way to do it. And I think that she did it well. I mean, and if like, look, if the owner of the song is appreciating your lip sync, then there ain't shit that I can really say. And Nicki Minaj was laughing at Gigi, so I liked what she brought to the table. And of course, I mean, I already talked about what Widow did, so it's just it was a good lip sync. There were some people on Twitter that were saying that this rivals Alyssa and Tatiana. Shut the hell up.
No.
Shut the hell up. Like, let's not play games. It was a great, fantastic
premiere. It was a great
premiere,
lip sync. It was epic. Yes, it was but epic. It wasn't that good. Yes.
Right, right.
I'll say this. Gigi made a run of it. Like, I knew the song was going to be Nicki Minaj, and you heard Widow Von Du in the confessional going, I'm not going to lose this bitch. Trust. And I'm like, okay, she's not losing. So, like, there's no way she's losing this. But I was so glad to see that Gigi made a run of it and really gave it her all to try and win, hello, $5,000, which I was glad to see that they put that out there. And you know what? For somebody like the Widow Von Du, who is not yet, like at the time that this is taking place, where nobody knows who she is, and she's on RuPaul's Drag Race, she's trying to prove herself. And yes, she's going to have all this notoriety later on once the show starts airing, but she doesn't have it yet. So she doesn't have that notoriety and she doesn't have that money for those appearance fees. For her to win something like $5,000, mm-hmm. that's a big fucking deal mm-hmm. for a Missouri queen. That is a big deal for her to win that on RuPaul's Drag Race. So I was so glad that they put some money, they put some coin out there right away for someone to win. And it was so heartwarming to see Widow Von Du win it. Like, I was so happy for her.
Mm-hmm. I did get a little bit of Dusty Ray Bottoms versus Monet exchange. Maybe because it was the Nicki Minaj song. Maybe it was because Gigi also did the epileptic white girl dancing to Nicki Minaj move. But the one moment I really, really liked was when Gigi, the line like, Gigi, and then Gigi points at herself. So stupid, but really lovely. But Widow, I think, definitely deserved to win. So I'm happy based on not only the lip sync, but also her performance and the runway looks. And just in general, she deserved to win and take home the $5,000 here. All right. Well, do you guys have any other thoughts on the episode? Otherwise, we can jump in and talk about Untucked.
Oh, well, I mean, I think the episode was just fantastic. Again, I know they're not going to do this every season, but the more they do this, I think the more I'm going to love it. I can't wait to meet the other six queens that we're going to meet next week. Again, it's even smaller next week. This week, there were seven queens. Next week, there are six queens that we're going to get to meet. And I am equally excited about so many of them. So I'm here for it. I can't wait to see. Let's talk about Untucked.
Mm-hmm. Well, Aman, did you have any other thoughts that you wanted to share about the episode before we dig into Untucked?
No, it was a great episode. It was a great start to the season. I was sort of like bummed out at first when I found out that they weren't going to be giving us all of them. But as soon as, you know, I understood why they were doing it, you know, it was a good choice. And I'm glad that they went all out for Nikki. I'm glad that she had a great time. Maybe that she can become more of an evangelist for the show, for other big names to come on and see what these queens are about, thereby just giving drag more notoriety. So it was a good premiere. Mm-hmm. I'm excited.
And we didn't just get Nikki in the episode. We also got her on Untucked. I can't remember who was the first guest judge. Was it Lady Gaga that came into the back room of Untucked and gave them comments?
It was Lady Gaga. Yep.
Yeah, that was
first time to ever do that.
That was so good. And that was really good, too, because she gave them all critiques, because that episode they didn't break it up like this. So not everybody got critiques. So I thought that was really cool. But here, yeah, we get Nikki comes back and talks to everybody. I mean, amongst other things. But do you guys have anything in particular you want to say about Untucked, Brent?
I mean, like I mentioned previously, just listening to the queens and their perceptions of each other and who they fear and who they think is their biggest competition was just so great to hear, because you so rarely get to see that this early on from the queens and how they view everybody else. And you could definitely tell that some people who were getting particular praise, like Nikki Doll, she wants to be so much more than just a pretty face. I think she's very used to getting praise for that. And it was so a little bit like victim noises I was getting from Nikki Doll, where she was like, I'm so tired of being like, thank you for the compliment. Yes, I know I'm gorgeous, but like, I'm more than that. I want to be known for more than that. And I'm like, well, bitch, show us, which I do feel like she did throughout this episode, but she's going to want to continue to do as RuPaul's Drag Race moves ahead. I will also say that we got these seven queens talking with each other, and there seems to be such a bond between the seven of them. They're so thankful that they got a chance just to know each other. And they even talked about that in this episode. I'm very hopeful of the fact that during episode two, that we get sort of the, I forget the names of the two guys on the Muppet Show, but I want these seven queens to be watching from afar, or maybe like on closed circuit, and watching the other six queens and giving us their takes on them, because that would be very exciting for me. And there's definitely a sisterhood already developing between these seven.
So like very Boston Rob and Sandra at Tribal Council type look.
Yes. Like have them behind the curtain. Yes.
It was a very Big Brother moment when they, at the end of Untucked, when they sort of were like, yeah, this is the final seven, you know, sort of like harkens back to people getting into the house first and then making that alliance. I was like, okay, bitch, like, is this what we're going to be doing this season? Because if so, I'm here for it. Because anything to like have like some sort of like first seven in rivalry with the next six queens, I am so here for that. The Untucked was nice. I was very shocked that Heidi in a Closet was so quick to ask Nicki Minaj exactly what she didn't like about her face, even though I'm pretty sure Nicki Minaj pretty much told you what she didn't like about your face, point blank, period. But it was a nice little juicy little drama moment that I was that I'm used to getting in Untucked. Mm-hmm.
That took some balls. I think that,
yeah, it did. I think that Heidi in Closet was definitely concerned that she could be the first one out. Like I think they're looking around, going, okay, two people have to be in the bottom. We were all pretty fantastic. We all got praise. So who the fuck is it? Like, even Britta was thinking, wow, it could be me. Maybe I made the mistake of not showing them who I am. And in a sea of queens who did exceptionally well, maybe that puts me in the bottom. I think you could definitely feel the fear in that room about who is it going to be. Like, it wasn't like on other Untucks where, like, they clearly know, okay, it's probably you and you and maybe an outside shot of you, but like it could have been any of them. And I felt like that gave us such great tension and television. I was definitely here for it.
Unless this is our A team and next week is the B team, this season is freaking stacked with amazing queens.
Because it really is.
I couldn't envision one of them going home at the end of this episode. And okay, maybe because nobody was going home, they didn't go in, you know, like they would have, or like you talked about, Brent, they would have shown Michelle doing that angry face that she makes when right. she doesn't like something during the performance. Like, okay, maybe right. it was all the editing, but from what we've seen in the looks, in the performances, in the rap, like, wow, these queens really came to play. And this is just the first half.
Yeah. Yeah, I really hope this is not the A team and the other is the B team. I don't think it's true. I think that there are queens who are just, they're ready for RuPaul's Drag Race. This is the 12th season now. They know what's coming. Like, there's no, I'm really hoping there's no, like, Mercedes Amon Diamond. Mm-hmm. There's nobody who's definitely out of their league on this season. I'll save judgment until episode two, but I'm hopeful that that's the case.
Yeah, I mean, I'm taking most of my preseason judgments and just throwing them out the window because I thought that Heidi and Closet was going to be just like trash. Like, just based off of all of her fucking like preseason interviews, she downplays herself so much. And now I'm just starting to see that that's just part of who she is. I mean, as confident as she can be, she's still very self-aware that, you know, she's, you know, sort of like, you know, drag on a dime. And but the way that it came off in preseason, I was just not expecting her to pull out all the stops like she did with her verse and with her choreography this year for this episode. And I was sort of like thinking the same thing about Aiden Zane. But if we're about to get another episode where all these queens are about to slay us one more time, and then episode three is when we get into the nitty gritty, then that really just makes me want to just be like, you know what? Like, we just don't know what's going to happen. All these queens are here to slay. They're all here to play the game, and it's going to be a good season. So I'm excited.
I know that it's very unlikely they would eliminate somebody during the next episode when the next right. six queens come out. But I really hope they don't tell the queens right away, like, because they didn't tell these queens right away. Like, I would love for these six queens that are coming up to not realize that none of them are going home, and for the other seven queens to watch them on like closed circuit television and they realize
don't
that these queens
be a little unfair though.
Like, unfair how? To watch. Why would it be unfair? Like, it's not like they're competing in the same challenge. The challenge is gonna change.
Yeah, but then wouldn't the six queens get to watch the seven queens?
Because it would be impractical from a television point of view. Just like these queens didn't get Nicki Minaj, but the other queens are getting, like, you know, whoever the hell, Thandi Newton and Robin. So whatever. Like, I think they're gonna be there watching these queens. We'll see.
I mean, the way that it's edited, they did make it seem like they are going to be in the workroom while the other queens make their entrances. So, I mean, it's a possibility. We'll see.
Nothing in TV is fair, Amon.
I know. I don't know. I just feel like I would have been like pissed off if I got to watch everybody else, like, or if they got to watch me, but I didn't get to watch them. Like,
oh my God.
Because then you feel like the pressure of like your peers judging you as well. Like, but I mean, hey, it's reality TV, so they're going to manipulate that shit the way that they can.
What?
So.
I was going to say, Amon, you better prepare yourself for Big Brother Canada. So enough with this this fairness attitude.
You're right.
But all right. Well, speaking of next week's episode, so we are going to have the second part of the premiere, I think is how it's officially denoted, where we will get to see the next six queens and then hopefully see some sort of reuniting, or I guess uniting for the first time of all these queens together, and then move into probably our first elimination episode in week three would be my assumption.
Yep. And I'm here for it. Yes. I like the fact that we get to spend three episodes with these queens before we have to eliminate somebody. Mm-hmm. Like, give us this. This is amazing talent. Let us enjoy it.
I wonder if they're going
to
eliminate two in episode three.
Oh, you think?
You think
just
so?
To put shit back on schedule.
You think so?
You know?
Well, does that work out with the math of the episodes?
Because by episode, oh yeah, true. Because there's usually what, 14?
Yeah. So I think because there's 13, which is still such a weird number. I don't know.
They are begging. They better do a runway that is like the 13 colonies of the United States. If this is going to be an American season and they don't use all those queens to do the 13 colonies, I'm going to be so fucking pissed. Like, RuPaul, get your shit together.
Oh, man. I'm excited for 2 weeks when Amon is super pissed that we didn't get the 13 colonies runway.
I would have to be Virginia because I'm so virginal.
Oh, what a virgin. You wear white.
Aman, you still here? Did you fall over after I said that?
You lost him.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Brent, what's up with you? You were on Twitch this week, right?
Yeah, I was on This Week in Survivor with Jordan Kalish and Rob Cesternino. I won't spoil how I did, but it was so fun to get to talk Survivor with Rob and Jordan. I definitely had shit to say. I had shit to say about this season of Survivor, which is the first time I've ever been on This Week in Survivor before. I don't think I've ever been on a Survivor podcast with Rob Cesternino. Maybe I did the voicemails like way back in the day, the rap is celebrating its 10-year anniversary. I'm pretty sure I might have done the voicemails like during year two or something, but it's been a while since I got to talk to Rob about Survivor. So that was really fun. And right after this podcast, we are going to be recording our Big Brother Canada 8 draft with Taryn Armstrong and Melissa Denny. And I am so excited about this season of Big Brother Canada.
Goodness.
There's so many hits on this season of Big Brother Canada. I am just so... my life is so full right now.
We're really getting fed. Like, we have all these amazing queens, yes. And now we have all these amazing people on BB Can. Like, this is going to be a bomb-ass spring of reality television. Come on.
And we have Survivor. Oh, my God.
Yes. And, like, it's just... yes.
Yeah. Remember these days, kids.
2020 is going to be known as the year of amazing reality television. That's where we're at right now, which makes up for freaking 2019. So we deserve it, y'all.
We deserve it. Yes.
Aman, where can people find you on social media? What do you up to?
Everybody can find me at Aman Adwin. BB Can is starting up. Unfortunately, I will not be as frequent on the morning updates. I'm so devastated by it. But I'm still going to be around, like, you know, in the Twitter streets. So if you want to follow my commentary, you'll know where to find me.
And you can find me on social media at Liana Boris. I have a couple of podcasts out this week. So the RHAP B&B, Mike Bloom and I talked with Rourke Luskin, which is really, really fun, about the latest episode of Survivor. I'm also doing the Masked Singer podcast with Puya Zanvakili. We talked about episode 5, which was really fun, talking about Group B. Check that out. And then I got together with my sister to talk about Lego Masters, that TV show on Fox, episodes 2, 3, and 4. She's a huge Lego expert fan, and it was really, really enjoyable to talk about that show, because it's just Lego Masters. It's a show that I didn't know I needed, but I'm actually having a lot of fun watching it. But talk about the dessert to being well fed with all this reality TV that we have. So definitely. Oh, we also. Okay. So our iTunes page is very out of date. It's still version 1 with Mike Bloom and Ali Lasher, but we're working on getting that updated. But definitely leave us a star ratings and reviews on iTunes. It's the Drag Race Rehap Ups. Huge shout out to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes. And we will talk to you all next week. Bye.